Hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion, and as always, thanks so much for joining us on the Drivecast today. This past Sunday, we looked at the topic of sexual immorality, coming out of Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 5, and I also started in chapter 2 this past Sunday because there's some overlap and some connective tissue that I felt like was helpful. We see the same phrase being said in chapter 2, verse 7. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the does of the field, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. And she says the same thing in verse 5 of chapter 3. Prior to verse 7 of chapter 2, she gives this interesting statement. Chapter 2, verse 5, she says, sustain me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am sick with love. And I felt like it was a worthy exploration to see the connection between being sick with love and this warning toward don't arouse or stir up, is the phrase used, don't stir up or awaken love until it pleases. And I did a little research on just some of the phases or the stages of relationships. And hear me say, I'm not a neuroscientist or anything like that, but I did read some different studies and looked at some different hormones that are often more active in our bodies based upon the stage of the relationship. And so, for example, early on in a relationship, sometimes when you see somebody you are really smitten with in your single days, and you see somebody and you meet them, like I remember August 14th, 2013, 8:07 a.m., walking into Bashford Hall at Ohio Wesleyan and seeing who is Maddie, who is now my wife, and just the feeling of nerves every time I spoke with her. I was able to slyly get her number off of the RA document that was being passed around, just sick with this feeling, if you will. But what's really interesting is hormonally, there is something happening in the brain. Phenylethylamine is a hormone that is spiking, along with some others, in this early attraction phase. There's a doctor named Dr. Helen Fisher. Wouldn't necessarily say I've done a deep dive into her work, and so I'll just say that if you do go and look her up. But talks about this attraction curve that we often have that sort of peaks early on and then it fades. It doesn't disappear, but it does fade. And it actually causes decreasing of some key decision-making processes within your brain, which is just honestly fascinating. There are certain sections like your amygdala, which handles fear, that doesn't function as much when you have this one particular hormone surging in your mind. And then the prefrontal cortex, which handles critical thinking, when that hormone is surging, you don't critically think as much. You don't have as sound of judgment. And so, you find yourself stumbling over your words, looking over yellow or red flags early on in the relationship. And I think we've probably all been there. And it's cool how God has designed our bodies, designed the chemicals within our brains to work within how He has designed it. Because what we see then is when we go against the way God has designed intimacy, specifically sexual intimacy, when we begin to go out of order, that's when a lot of chaos begins to really work its way into our lives. Because there is another hormone that starts out a little bit more gradual, but then has an increasing curve up and to the right. If the first attraction hormone goes high on the left, down to the right, the second hormone, which is really the attachment hormone primarily, there are others called oxytocin, it starts low and goes up and to the right. And so they sort of cross. What's interesting is that oxytocin primarily It increases over moments of intimacy, not just sexual intimacy, but moments of sitting on the couch, looking at each other in the eyes and having deep conversations that are safe, holding hands as you go for a walk, serving one another. And of course, it spikes during intimacy as well. But here's what can happen. When we go against God's design and we awaken love before it pleases, when we go against God's design, what we're doing is we're bonding ourselves, the two became one flesh, to someone. If we're engaging in, say, premarital sex or hookup culture, we are bonding ourselves to someone who we're ignoring the red flags because we are smitten and we have certain hormones flooding our minds, and we're intertwining ourselves with someone that we do not ultimately know, and someone we are likely ignoring a lot of facts about because honestly, we're just not in our right mind. We are sick with love, in the words of the woman from Song of Solomon. And I just felt like, you know what? That's incredibly helpful to think through. And it makes me think just about how we can do a more comprehensive view of the way in which God has designed us and how it is he has intended us to live for our good and ultimately for his glory. You see, because what can happen on the inverse, maybe you're not participating in premarital sex or, hookup culture or something like that, but maybe you have found yourself married for 4, 5, 6 years and you feel like, man, there's just no spark in the relationship anymore. We're more roommates and business partners than we are husband and wife. It's helpful to sort of look at these things as well, because as that first hormone goes down and to the right, if the connection hormone isn't going up and to the right, what you're going to find is that initial excitement of the relationship, the honeymoon phase, fades, but you don't have the connection phase to support and to work toward long-term sustainable intimacy. And again, there's just helpful things to think through. And so I don't want to just talk about the scientific element, though that is important. Of course, we've got to get to the spiritual element. One of the incredible blessings of the gospel is, one of the promises of the gospel is that we are now therefore new creations. Where? In Christ. And so whether you have bonded yourself in this early phase of attraction and now you are experiencing the mess of that, Christ offers newness in him. It doesn't mean all the situations and circumstances are going to immediately disappear, but he does offer you to be made into a new creation. You've bonded yourself to others. Through faith in Christ, you can bond yourself to Christ, the holy, perfect, pure, lovely one. That's really good news. What's also really incredible is that we're given promises, say in Romans chapter 8, that the same Spirit who raised Christ Jesus from the dead is alive in us. Maybe you're stuck in that hookup culture phase or pornography phase. There is freedom in Christ. We are no longer debtors to the flesh. We don't have to live that way anymore. We can live in freedom in Christ, not because we're great, but because he is great within us. Praise God. So how do you need to respond this morning? Maybe you need some connection time with your spouse. And that could mean something as simple as sitting on the couch, asking how was your day, and caring enough to sit and listen and make eye contact and ask questions. That's going to boost oxytocin in your spouse, and there's going to be greater intimacy and connection, and you're going to function more like God intended marriages to function, which is a reflection of Jesus in the church. Maybe you need to repent of, turn away from hookup culture, from pornography, and you need to say, Jesus, I need to be bound to you, not to these other things. There is newness in Christ. So maybe you need to lay those things down, confess your faith in Christ, and chase after him in response to his chasing after you. A lot more can be said here, but I'm going to end things here, lead us into a time of prayer, and say thanks so much for joining us on the Drivecast today. Lord, thank you that you're good and faithful. Help us to understand how it is you've designed us to live in this area of life. What a gift you have given us in intimacy. Help the intimacy we have be how you've designed it to be, in such a way that it reflects your goodness, your glory, and it ultimately glorifies you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.